Kamas, that when you fill out the form, put it on the desk with those who with the co-workers for the welcoming the newcomers. Please give your form to them. And today we'll be speaking of a new topic, and the topic is the old wineskins to new wineskins. Let's turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Verse 36 to 39. He told them this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. But no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If it does, the new wineskins will burst the skins. The new wine will burst the skins, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Here it says, Jesus, the reason here why Jesus give this parable of the old wineskins and new wineskins. And Jesus was in the in the house of Levi. He was with tax collectors and sinners. He was eating there with them. And then the Pharisees were unhappy. They said, if he's a prophet, how can he be with the sinners and the tax collectors? And Jesus said to them, I have come to seek the sick, not the healthy. And then they asked him, why do John's disciples fast and pray, so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking? And Jesus said, because the bridegroom is here, to let them know that he is the main character. And then if he is here, and the days would come when Jesus would be nailed to the cross and he would be ascended into heaven. When the bridegroom has left, then they will fast. And Jesus gave them another parable. The old wineskins and the new wineskins. And then the new garment, you do not tear out the patch on the new garment and sew it on the old one. And then the garment speaks of our behavior, our actions, our external behaviors. And Jesus says, it's not possible to tear out the new garment and patch up the old garment. And also, you do not pour new wine into old wineskins. And the old wineskin speaks of our natural goodness. And what you think you are proud of and what you think are righteous, these are the old wineskins. Just like you discover that when Jesus came on earth, all those who oppose Jesus, who are them? They are the Pharisees and the scribes. Why? Because they have a deep religious background. And these religious background are good because these came from Moses. And then the ancestors saw the Red Sea was split apart. And then the ancestors have given them the laws. So these become their religious background. And the past, the Old Testament is the shadow, but the New Testament is the real thing. And the Old Testament is speaking, is leading us about Christ. And then the law let us know about the sin, and let us know that there's no way we can meet the standards of God, that we may come to Christ and seek His grace and depend on Him. This Son of God, when He comes on earth, in John chapter 1, He says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory and the glory of the One who came, the Father, full of grace and truth. And he says that law came to us via through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God, but the one, but God, the one and only one who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Full of grace and truth. The Son of God has brought to us full of grace and truth. And through the Old Testament law, causes men to know that they are incapable, so that now we can go to the Son of Man, to come to his bosom, to enjoy his grace. But the Pharisees, because of the religious background, the things they are proud of, that they have fasted so many days a week, and the offerings to the temple, or they observe the Sabbath day, and through these things prevent them from accepting the Son of God, who is, and then the summary of the law is love. And the things that Christ has done has offended their religious background and offended the rules and regulations of their religion. So the words that Jesus said caused them unhappiness and anger. And when Jesus said that I am one with my Father, and then you have spoken blasphemous words, so they wanted to kill Jesus. And when they see that the disciples of Jesus are eating grain of corn from the fields, and how can you do that? And Jesus said to them, and the Sabbath was established for man, and man is not made for the Sabbath. So Jesus is telling them that the Old Testament and Moses established for them for Sabbath day. And if you do not observe the Sabbath day, you'll be stoned to death. So this is very deep in their traditions. And how can this one who came and then heal the sick on the Sabbath? And on the Sabbath, they do not observe the Sabbath, and they eat the grain of corn. And that Jesus want to break the shell, to break. And the law causes man to know sin, but it cannot save man. It cannot give life to man. But they think that by following these laws, that's their pride. And then because I observe the law, these are my good deeds, and therefore I am righteous. But Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In the past, in the Old Testament, they observed the Sabbath. They cannot walk far. They cannot go afar. They only can do certain things. They can do a lot of things, but then cannot do a lot of things. But then at home, they can get mad and get angry at home. But Jesus is saying that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, we need to think that he is the Lord. We consider him as the Lord, adore him as the Lord, so that we can love him, and so that we do not like to get angry. And then in the beginning, and there's some, in the old days, on Sundays, they do not cook. And they have a morning and evening worship, and then the kids can go play a little bit. And then that's speaking of their fear of the Lord. But if you make this into a law and a rule, that I cannot do this and cannot do that, but you can get angry, then you will lose the meaning of the Sabbath. And then on Sabbath, you may be very anxious and busy and anxious and worried. Then you have lost the meaning, because the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, we need to look upon Jesus as our Lord. And Jesus came to lead us to a higher plane, that the law may be made real to us, to lead us, that I can every day live with him, that I would look upon him as my Lord. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they are always only observing the rules and regulations, the external rules and regulations. They cannot accept the Son of Man, the Son of God, and that this is the summary, the end of law. They cannot accept him. So Jesus gave them a parable. And how can you eat with the sinners and the tax collectors? And then he also said, and then your disciples, before eating, do not wash their hands. And Jesus said that the things that come to you does not defile you, but rather what comes out from you defiles you. So you need to face what's inside of you, the true you. You face your selfishness, your pride, and your scheming deceitfulness, and your jealousy. Those are the words defile a person. But those that enter you does not defile you. So they are only observing the external rules and regulations. But Jesus telling them, the kingdom of God is inside of us. The inside is the important. So we need to honor him inside of us as Lord and King. But the Pharisees, and they reject this God. Whenever Jesus said words, they get angry because Jesus offended their religion. And why do the sinners and the tax collectors have no problem? And then they are they're not devout, and they are the ones who betray their country, and they are sinners. And so they do not want to be with them. And such people do not have religious background. And when Jesus speaks these words, it touched their heart. They know their sin. They know that they are sinners. And it's very clear that I'm sinners. But the Pharisees, and then they have been blinded by all these religious rules and regulations, that they feel they have done so many good works. So they cannot accept that they are sinners. They do not feel that they are sinners. So when they go to the temple, when they pray, he said, Lord, I'm not like this sinner. That's your prayer. I'm not like this sinner. But the tax collector is beating on his chest. Said, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me, this sinner. And Jesus said that this person going home, he is more righteous than the other, because he repented of his sin. He asked for forgiveness. He is sanctified. So he is more righteous when he go home than the Pharisee. So Jesus came to lead man into truth, because God is truth. It's not the external behaviors and deeds, but rather what is inside of us, our thoughts, our motivations. And that's why he said, the kingdom of God is in you. So the Pharisees, through their religious backgrounds, and it becomes their old wineskins. So Jesus came to give us new wine. When you put the new wine in the old wineskin, so what happens to the new wine? It would ferment. It would ferment, and when it does that, it would have explosive power, and then the old wineskins would be torn. So the old wineskins cannot hold new wine. And the Bible says that the wine speaks of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to do new things. After Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is doing new things. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and hearts have not perceived. That's what the Holy Spirit does, new things. So Peter went to the house of Cornelius, and then Peter said, how can you go there? They are they're defiled, they are the Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit asked him to go. And then the Holy Spirit filled these Gentiles to let Peter see. So he wants to get rid of Peter's old wineskins. And what he thought was good from the religion, that he cannot get defiled with the Gentiles. Verses says, this is my burden. Through a period of time, starting from this year, I want to speak on this topic because I discovered that many are wrong thinkings, and the things that we think are good, they become our old wineskins. They block us from gaining the new wine. So the Holy Spirit comes to do the new work. He is the new wine. The Holy Spirit wants to do all the things. He wants to give us the true joy and the true blessing. So the Holy Spirit is the new wine to give us to do new things. And then all the people who observe the new old traditions or religions cannot receive this new wine. So why it says the revival of the Holy Spirit becomes a stumbling block for the next revival of the Holy Spirit. And we know that previously the Holy Spirit did this in this kind of revival, so we wait that the Holy Spirit will do the same thing again. But the new wave of the Holy Spirit, He does not do it the old way. He does it in a new way, so we will miss out, or we cannot accept it. So the last wave of the revival becomes a stumbling block to the new wave of the Holy Spirit's movement. For example, the Israelites in the Old Testament, and there were the snakes that bit them. And then God asked Moses to make up a bronze snake, and whoever looks upon the bronze snake, then they will be saved. Until 2 Kings, they are still worshiping the bronze snake, and that became an idol. So Hezekiah destroyed the bronze snake. In the Old Testament, they were saved when they look upon the bronze snake, but it's at that time. But if you continue, that the bronze snake, you will be healed if you look upon it. And if you continue and worship the bronze snake, it became an idol to them. So many times, brothers and sisters, our traditions from the religion, how we were blessed in the past, and then we say that it must be like this again, the other ways we cannot accept them, then you will miss out on the new wine. Many years ago, around 1990, during that time, I led the Sunday school teachers and also the counselors for the youth go to Brother Ho's worship and praise meeting. Why do I let these to the Brother Ho's meeting? Because a brotherhood can lead 3,000 youth to worship and praise for the Lord. And then the young people would finish school and then ride to this place and then worship and praise the Lord. And I feel that we can learn from them. When we learn from Sister Po Young, she was already 70 or 80 years old. And we cannot use the ways how the Sister Po Young led us to teach the young people. And then there is a generational gap. And how they receive and perceive things is different than how the previous generations understood it. So I led these people to this meeting, and so they were singing and they were dancing, and I could not get used to it. I tried to enter into the flow, but I could not get used to it. So lastly, I only learned a few hymns. Later, and that was 1990, and then in 1992, I went to Los Angeles, and I led the hymn, I gave the message, and then when I led the hymns, I always used the Zion Church of Praise hymn book, and I'm very familiar with those books, the hymns. So in 1995, I came to San Jose. I discovered the Bay Area this spiritual cutting edge. And then it's always the new things happening here. And then the new work of the Holy Spirit all starts in the Bay Area. And then the East Coast is more conservative, especially in the Northern California. It's the cutting edge of spiritual movements. And then I come over here, the youth are always singing the new hymns and the short hymns. So on Thursday, I would lead the traditional Zion Church of praise hymns. And then on Sunday, and then so instead of having both Sundays and Thursdays learning new hymns, on Sunday we would sing the new hymns. And after Sunday worship service, we would teach them how to lead the people into a deeper worship. And we would have evaluation meetings. In 1996, the Lord moved me, touched me, and told me that I need to learn new hymns. So I said to Martina, teach me to sing new hymns. So in 1990, I went to this praise and worship. But I have a very strong and deep religious background. I'm not used to that. I feel discomfort. So until 1996, the Lord told me that I need to learn. And therefore, I became more diligent in learning the new hymns. So when they're leading the worship, I try my best to sing and then to memorize it. In 1997, and then the Lord opened avenues that I can go outside to have external outside conferences. So many other churches invited us to invite me for conferences. So wherever place I went many different states, and going to America or Europe, they were all singing these new hymns. The hymns are from streams of praise, and then the new hymns. And I thank the Lord that the Lord convicted me to learn the new hymns. So when I went and lead the other churches, I can lead their hymn singing with their own hymns. And then we cannot go to these meetings and ask them to learn our hymns. So that would be very difficult. So whatever hymns they use, we do our best to use their hymns they're familiar with. Including this time, we went to northern Thailand, to Chiang Mai, to speak to them, the inner life with the Akha tribe. They do not understand our Mandarin, and we do not understand their language. But we thank the Lord. They sing certain hymns that we know how to sing also. So there's something common, the common hymns between us. If I only know streams of music only, then or the Zion Church of Praise traditional hymns, then I will be lost. So at least there are some hymns we have in common. And they have translated into Akha language. And all these new groups, Hosanna, streams of music, they have started these new hymns. It's really the will, the beautiful will of God. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. Whether you are in Asia or Europe or North America, even in the remote place of Thailand, they are singing these hymns, including China. In mainland China, they are the small tribes in China. They came to this meeting in northern Thailand. They are also singing these types of hymns. I thank the Lord. This is really the hands of the Holy Spirit, that they put out these new CDs that all over the world they can sing the same hymn, and then that in the worship that we can all be one. And in mainland China, And then they are all speaking Mandarin. I feel like this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Even the small tribes, when they came to northern Thailand, they are speaking Mandarin also. They can understand us. It's so good. We can communicate. I do believe this is the hand of the Holy Spirit in the last time, that everyone, that we can be one in our worship. I really thank the Lord at that time that God, I did not miss the leading of God. And then God, through Brother Ho, to lead the whole world into praise and worship in this river of that I was, did not miss out that river. I praise and thank the Lord. So this speaks of that we need to get rid of the old wineskins, because I have this deep religious background. 8 years I was in the gospel church, and also over 10 years in the Zion church. So these hymns are hymns I'm familiar with, and they are traditional hymns. And these new hymns are difficult for me, but I need to let them go and learn the new hymns. And to get rid of the old wineskins, then we need the new wineskins to contain the new wine. And for those who have a religious background, it's difficult. And I know in the Zion Church of hymns, the traditional hymns, I know how to play the piano for those. The new hymns, I do know how to play the piano for them. And then there's a new way of accompaniment on the piano, and I do not know how to do it. I really want to spend more time to learn, but I don't have time. I said, just give up. And then to train up the new generation. And then those who know how to play the piano, so we'll train them to play the new hymns. And then in the beginning, their lives are not mature, so... And then many times I so want to go play the piano. I know that God has given me a gift to play the piano, but I do not know how to play these new hymns. So we train the next generation so that they become more mature, that they follow the Holy Spirit and they know how to play the hymns. So we need to let go of the old wineskins. And for all those who have a very strong and deep religious backgrounds, that we need to let them go, to let go of what we feel secure. For example, in the worship, in the meetings, if we use the traditional meetings, and we sing hymns, and then we announce, and then we lead the meeting, make the announcements and pray, and then the speaker will sing, and then they will sing a hymn, and then the pastor give the benediction and blessing, and then that's it. They will never go wrong. And this meeting is under control. But if the meeting becomes a free worship and follow the Holy Spirit, anybody can stand up and praise and worship and pray and worship. So what kind of thing may happen? One time I went to Los Angeles, someone asked me, if everyone can do free worship, will they cause problems in the worship? And I thought to myself, it's okay. All these years, we never had any strange thing happen. And the problem is whether we have this faith and trust in God that He would control the meetings. In the beginning, when we were in the church in Taiwan, in Kotsuko, the Holy Spirit doing the work, sometimes the enemy would lead two people who were mental problems, and they would sometimes would stand up and speak. Because in the Bible study, they can stand up, everybody can share. We do not know what they are saying. Sometimes they're speaking nonsense. One time, one person stood up, and he's retired. A soldier, and then he was harmed mentally during his military service, and he said that, brothers and sisters, Sister Po Young is very beautiful, and I love him. So he would walk up front and say, I have a flower for him, and then he would give this flower to Sister Po Young. And then Sister Poyan would take the flower and then put it aside. And Sister Poyan just wants any brother sisters, no matter what happens, your eyes must be focused on Jesus. And do not think that somebody has a strange movement or a strange talk, or you look at them, then you will have fell in the trap of the devil, because at that time the Holy Spirit wants to do His work on you. Whenever you are distracted by, your eyes and focus is distracted from body of Christ, then the enemy is victorious. So Sister Poyan teaches us that our focus and attention should be on Jesus only. And so all these years, the Lord, the Holy Spirit Himself will control and rule His church. So we need to have new wineskins to contain new wine. And then we'll no longer be just going through the motions, that we may let the Holy Spirit freely work. And our eyes are always focused on the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will do the work and lead the meeting Himself. Even though there may be strange people come and do strange things, it will not affect the meeting, because we are faced and we're looking upon the Lord, and He will do wonderful work. Here He says, we need to get rid of the old wineskins, and then use the new wineskins to take in the new wine. In this last age, God has used many vessels. If you use the eyesight of the old wineskins, you cannot accept the new work of the Holy Spirit. Like this time, brothers and sisters, they went to Kansas City at Mike Bickle conference, and they came back and they shared with us that there was a speaker there. He was only 26 years old, and they call him a young Benny Hinn. And he has the anointing of Benny Hinn for healing. He has the strong gift of healing. What kind of person is he? He is a person who has two earrings, and he dyed his hair blonde. Oh, and then he dyed his hair blue. And he dyed his blonde hair blue. And when he would dance as he's talking, and the sister came back and said that in the beginning, and then his message was that how God used him to heal people in India. And the sister said, what's the big deal? Because looking at him on the outside, she cannot accept him, and she didn't want to listen to his message. But this sister remember what I said to them, that when you go there, you need to get rid of your bias. Don't bring a judging spirit. Then do your best to enter the flow of the meeting. Then you will receive and gain. And this is what the Lord taught me many years ago. And not long after I came out for full-time service, the Lord taught me, no matter what you do, you put out your background and your bias, and then to want the Lord. So this sister, she was not getting used to this, but she blessed this speaker. So when we get rid of our old wineskins of criticism and judgment, and what we think is self-righteousness and self-holiness, or that we are better than others, this type of background, and then she started to bless this speaker. So the next meeting, she discovered that, and then she saw hundreds of people getting healed, and then it's truly used this brother to heal people. And she felt the presence of the Lord is so full. So how we do need, in any kind of meeting, we need to get rid of the old wineskins, that we may have new wineskins to take in the new wine. This time my brothers also came back. This brother said, and he has received an anointing of dancing in the Spirit. And so he came back, and as he danced, And he said that whatever him music he heard, he knows how to dance. But for us, we all know that he's dancing about the same. But that we're using our physical eyes to see him. But we know that in the spirit, the dancing is different. In different kind of music, God was leading him to dance a certain way. And some people would say, and then why would God cause him to dance this way? But you do not know his background. If you know his background, and then you would be amazed at what God has done. Because our brother, when he was in middle school, and then his school is next to a cemetery. And starting from middle school, he started to get depressed. Everything is great to him. Looks great to him. And he came to U.S. in another state. He studied there. When he was studying there. And he had depression. And he wanted to commit suicide. And then his thoughts and the character is gray. So when he came to San Jose to work, and people introduced him to our church in the beginning, sometimes come to the morning devotions when we need to dance and we need to jump up and dance, and he, no way for him. Later on, after a while, he pursued the Lord. He may be able to dance a few steps, and then he would stop again. But last year in the winter conference, God has done a great work in him and filled him greatly. From the winter conference, God continued to do in his work in him. And in the meeting, he would cry out. And then his gray outlook, and then his criticism and judging spirit. And then in this meeting, and now he would have a gratitude towards God. And after meetings, he would thank me for the message. And the whole person has softened and melted. So step by step, God has done work in each phase of his life. So when you went to Kansas City, he said the first meeting, he was already in the flow of the meeting. Because his old wineskins has been gotten rid of, meeting by meeting. And through a period of time, over a year, and this pursuit and this of the Lord, the repentance and getting rid of his old wineskins, getting rid of his old thinking, and to receive the teaching of the podium, and then to receive the work of the Holy Spirit. So his old wineskins have been gotten rid of. And so when you went there to Kansas City, the first meeting, he started dancing. And you know, through this release, and he started dancing this way. And God has released him and healed him. And then he has a weakness in his kidneys. And every night he has to get up 5 or 6 times to go to the bathroom. And then his waist hurts. And he's seen many doctors and none of them can help him. And became more serious. And so he came to the meetings. And one time he got better. And then became better. And once in a while, you will still be weak. And some other problems in his health. And then through this dancing before the Lord, everything became good. He's healed. And the dancing before the Lord, in the spirit, everything is healed. And he said that the being healed is not the best thing he received. And he started to see things, and his ears are open. He hear, when he hear the sound of the car or the horns and the birds singing, they're all beautiful music to him. And God has led him into the spiritual plane. Brothers and sisters, we need to have new wineskins to take in new wine. Don't use your old thinking or how God was blessed you in the past, and then to judge how the Spirit works in other people. If you do this, you will miss out a lot of this new wine from heaven to give you this new wine. You cannot hold it. You would leak it out. this year I returned I went back to Taiwan and also go to Northern Thailand, and I went there 5 weeks, and the last week before I was returned, Martina said that, Pastor Grace, you need to come back very quickly, because this hop and ball, this worship, and the brothers and sisters have made a great progress. If you don't come back, you would be behind. And I was getting very anxious that I cannot catch up with everyone. So later, and this before I went back, before I went to Taiwan, I led the brothers and sisters for a week, but 5 weeks already. And then the church has made a new step forward and a new release. So when I came back, I diligently attended every of the harp and bowl meetings. That day I said, I need to go earlier, so we need to practice this hymn. And then Martina said that you don't need to practice, the whole church knows, only you don't know, so I cannot catch up. So 5 weeks I was gone, and now I do not know how to sing some of these new hymns. So you cannot stay, I cannot go away too long. So after this period, I returned through this harp and bowl worship. The Holy Spirit is doing a great release and a healing among us. Beginning this year, I have this this burden that God has opened my eyes to see our Chinese, our 5,000 year tragic history, and that have roped us and bonded us and tied us up tight, that our emotions are oppressed, and then the inner person has been tied and it's just like a mummy. Although we have the message from the podium on Sunday, and then a worship, and then we have Saturday prayer meetings and the small house group, and then they were released for a while, and then but several days later before they come to the meeting, and then when they go back home, they went back to their old ways of life again, because of our old wineskins are very deep. And then our Chinese do not like to sing and dance. We are a race that doesn't like to do that. We have our old wineskins. That's our traditions. But if you see in Africa, their tradition is to dance. And that's the Africans. And they do not have any of this religious background and traditions. So when the missionaries go to Africa, so easily preach the gospel, and it's very easy for the Holy Spirit to work among them. So any one of us who have cavities, open up your mouth, and then Jesus will heal your teeth, and then yes, and then God fixed the cavities. And then in the U.S., now I don't believe, you need to make an appointment with a dentist, and then they would have to make the crown, because we are thinking like this is the way you fix a teeth, a tooth. But in Africa, they don't think this way. They don't have dentists. Through their simple faith, they have a lot of crowns that are made of gold. God healed them. So in this scientifically advanced countries, there are fewer miracles because of our old wineskins. We have all this knowledge of medicine, and that becomes our spiritual baggage. And who are the people who cannot experience miracles of healing? It's the doctors and nurses, because What they see are the germs. They see is infections. But we say that this is the oppression of the enemy. We need to rebuke it. How can you rebuke it and it becomes better? I remember Sister Paul Young, she had a tumor and then God healed her. And then they do an ultrasound. And what happened to your tumor? Because my sisters prayed for me and then God, Jesus healed me. And how can the tumor through prayer was healed? And then the doctor said that, yes, the tumor is gone, but this is not possible. This is how he thinks. The nurses, I know some nurses, their children can get sick easily. Because they know medicine, they know that which is healthy and clean and sanitary. And then when they're young, everything, they sanitize everything. And they sanitize everything. Like when we go back to Taiwan, we can eat the things on the roadside. And her daughter go back to and eat the roadside the food. There's no no inoculation against the germs. We eat the dirty stuff and we can survive. The knowledge of medicine becomes our old wineskins. But there are some doctors and nurses that truly know. They know how God heals men. Even though they have this knowledge of medicine, but it does not become their old wineskin. Because inside of them, they have new wineskins because they have new wine in them. And so they advise many patients that you need to lean on the God, trust on the God. And the many sickness, you cannot heal them. They are sicknesses that are not healable. So that it's not that, whether I do have this knowledge, and it's not that they are not good, but rather whether they become our old wineskins. So through these days of Huff and Bowl, God has done so much work. And I thought to myself, what is this? This is just worship. This is worshiping and intercession and prayer. And what's the difference? And the difference is that we have morning, noon, and evening. And it's continual. It's constantly. And then we're singing. And the singing in our worship. And the truth of God. And combined with music. And then as we are singing out the words of God, and when it's combined with the music, it's very easy for us to open up our emotional depths. So it can enter in the deepest part of our emotions, and that may open that part of us. And then the shroud around the mummy, one by one, is unwound. And then we would be free from this bondage, and we can come out. And then our self-consciousness is slowly sloughed off. And then as you praise and worship, you forget yourself. And you discover those who come, and they become more and more like children. They forget themselves. I myself is like this. In 1990, when I was in Taiwan, and such a deep Pharisee, and then when I came to Los Angeles, now I'm becoming freer, and then I came to San Jose, and I'm becoming more and more free, and more free and released. I remember when I was in Taiwan, and when the Holy Spirit moves, I would dance, and I would just dance a few steps, and then they're like, yes, I danced a few, I met my duty. In 1990, when I went to Los Angeles to start a church, and we started, we held the first conference, I sat on the first row. They are not from Zion Church, they do not know our pursuit. And the Holy Spirit moved me to come out and dance. And he's like asking me for my life. And I said, Lord, I'm a pastor. How can I dance? They would think that it's very strange. And then these are very conservative people. They've never seen these. And I need to stand up and dance. and it felt like I was to die. But I obeyed the Lord and I danced. And then I sat down. You see, these are old wineskins. My religious background is so deeply etched in me. Even though I obeyed the Lord, I did dance, but then I went back to my chair. And the next day, I went back to my old self, the conservative self, the conservative old wineskin. And then, year by year, I become freer and freer. And through these months, starting in January, and now it's March, and this continual and non-stop, and then every day, constantly, every day we are singing and joyous before the Lord, and then more to enjoy His love. In these meetings, I discovered that I'm very free now, very free, very released. And I do not feel like, embarrassed. I will no longer be afraid of embarrassment that other people will look at me. I feel that we need to kill the old wineskin. And then your emotions then will be released. God created us to give us joy and beauty and happiness, and He's given us the capacity to do that in us, because our Lord is like that, our God is like this. How come today our eyes are, today our face are long, we can't have joy? Why? Because 5,000 years of tragic and history, and generation to generation, the oppression becomes greater, especially brothers. And then when we were young, how can you boys cry? You cannot cry. You're a boy, you can't cry. You got a big man, you cannot cry. And so I pity the brothers. So I asked the brothers to come to the worship to restore the freedom that God created you to be, the glory freedom of the Son of God. And it's not that you come here and then you dance and you dance, you fulfill your duty. No. You must come continuously, constantly, in the meetings. And then the prophetic words and the prophetic prayer in the spirit, in the music in the spirit. And then you may be surround this person and change us, renew our thinking. And then the bandages around the mummy, one of them will be unrolled, and then that we may have the freedom in the Son of God. So this harp and bowl of worship is not something new, but brothers and sisters need to come, continually come and worship. Heaven is a place that worship never stops. The prophetic message and prayer will stop. But in heaven, continually in love, we will be worshiping and worshiping and enjoy His love. And through the worship, the love of God can flow unto us. And then we receive His love and we can respond to Him and offer it up to God. So worship can cause us to be free and can heal us, and that we can enjoy Him. And then in worship that God can enjoy us. And there's a sister. And she has nightmares. She will see strange creatures and seeing evil stuff, and causes us to fear. And why would she have these dreams? Because it's related to the hurt that she had when she was young. So she started to come to this harp and bowl worship, And then the presence of God came upon her, and then her bondages were released, and then her hurt was healed. And then she has fewer and fewer of these nightmares. And she's only been married 1 year. And because she has depression, and then she has all these nightmares, and so she cannot sleep well, and she has anxiety attacks, and her emotions are unstable. So in the new marriage, and then she fought with her husband. But because she came to the hopping ball, nobody gave her counseling. She just came. And then she enjoyed the love of God, enjoyed the love of God more. And then the nightmares fewer and fewer. And then the person would be and become happier, and then the depression went away. And then have a better relationship with her husband. Until, and they're full of the love of God. And then in a house group, small house group, to serve others. Not only she's healed of her sickness, but rise up from her sickness, and they're full of God's love to serve others. So, brothers and sisters, if you know people with depression, anxiety attacks, or that they have quarrels with the husband and wives, any kind of person, all kind of problems, sicknesses in the spirit, soul, and body, encourage them to come to the Hub and Ball worship. We thank the Lord through the Hub and Ball worship. The preachers have less counseling to do. So come here, constantly come here. Enjoy God's love. And these verses, the prayer leaders have looked upon the Lord for these verses, and then to proclaim the promises of God, and then to proclaim the love of God. And then in the spirit, when we proclaim these words, and then the prophetic leading, and then a lot of the dust and the bondages will come off of us, and then we will be healed. And God has done a wonderful work here. I feel like through this hop and ball worship, it's like what? It's like last year or the year before that I went to Disney World. We went to one of the one of those programs. You'll be sitting on a chair, and then you see the on the screen. You would be on the screen. You'd be like a forest, monkeys, and there were drums. And all of a sudden, my chair started moving, and the whole section of chairs started moving. The whole row of chairs started moving, and we enter into the forest. We enter into the forest. And there's monkeys, and there's water here, and there are big trees here, and then there may be dinosaurs there, and then you enter into the forest. I feel like that God has threw this hop and ball. Before we were looking, the person leading the worship, and I would dance a little bit, but when you enter into reality, through the worship, you can enter into the spiritual plane. Enter into the presence of God. And before it was on the, and then just sitting there, one dimensional, now it becomes multidimensional. You enter into the spiritual plane. Jesus came. Jesus comes to bring us into all truth. Jesus came on this earth. When he left this world, what he said to his disciples? It is good that I go. If I go, then the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit comes will be better than if I were with you. When Jesus was on the earth, he's full of grace and full of truth. The Word become flesh. What does it say? And then he's set his tent among us. And in Revelation, it says that the tent of God is among his people. He has renewed everything. Everything is renewed. So, this is a time of the Holy Spirit, starting from Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. He's on this earth. He is building His tent among us. He's setting His tent among us. He wants to lead us into the presence of God, into the reality of God. Not only that inside of us we have feeling of God, but He wants to lead us into the bountifulness of the Spirit, all the abundance of the Spirit. So several days ago, I wasn't here. They were singing the consuming fire of God, and they're among us. They said to me, and through these worship of these days, and when they sang the consuming fire, she felt the Spirit, the fire is like is burning on them, is coming upon them, and the consuming fire of God came upon them. One day, I was kind of tired that day, so I was sitting in the last row, and I was singing with them, and I danced with them, and then I got tired, and then I started to close my eyes and started to fall asleep, and I was dozing off, and then as they started to sing, and then that day when they were singing, it's very, and the leader was very good, but the people who came, they did not sing very well. They were, it's very awful. But I was, when I was dozing off, and they were not singing very well, but when they were singing, and then the Holy Spirit seems like coming in front of me and go through me, even the secretaries, and when they were in the Holy Spirit, and then they went back to their office and said, the Holy Spirit is here. How did the Holy Spirit come here? So the Lord is leading us into the reality of the Spirit, into this reality to experience His truth, to live in His abundance. So in this last time, last age, the Satan is doing his fierce work. Whether you go to the hotel, or you go on the business trip, and you're not careful, you see the computer on the web, or you see a TV program, and there will be these strange spirits coming to you. He will use many ways. In Taiwan, this happened. So they drove away the demon. What's his name? And then they asked, what is your name? And then he said, his name is that the name of the TV program. And then this young person saw this movie about demons, and then he got this strange illness. So they drove away this demon-possessed kid. The devil's in the devil-possessed kid. So you know that Satan is doing this thing. He is pouring out his poisonous spirits in this world. You go out, you watch this, and you are defiled. And brothers, you have to be very careful. And the evil one will use your going out on a business trip and use the sex, and then the women would be, they adore you. And then you would be enslaved by the enemy. And the enemy is doing all kinds of work like this. So many people have affairs. And brothers is that they love the Lord, but they go out on the business trip and then they fell in the trap of the evil one. You need to be alert. Only those who love the Lord with a burning fire, then they will be victorious and be more than victorious through the worship, and they have this love towards God, and you will be have victory over these things. So the enemy is doing his fierce work, and but the Holy Spirit is using his consuming fire to save souls, and then he wants to fill us with his love, to fill his bride with his love. So the last days will be really an outstanding days. So the Lord has prepared for us this harp and bowl worship. It's truly precious. And through this, many people were healed. heal the body, spirit, and soul. So come, do your best to come. And if you have a young child you need, can take care, or you have in-laws to take care of, he said, Lord, I can't come. I really want to go to your temple to worship you, but I cannot leave. But now I want to worship you. Now I want to worship me. You can start to worship. You need to be with me, Lord. And the God will be with you. God looks at our hearts, whether you really care for him, whether you really want him. And then his presence would come upon you. And see us Chinese, especially when come to US, and they are very good students. And if you don't have good grades, you cannot come here. And then the good students, whatever they do, they're very diligent. They are very diligent in the education, and they're diligent in the pursuing of the Lord. And then there's a hunter. He's a spiritual healing gift. And every time he come up front, he said, smile. He said, it's free. He says, smile, smile, because it's free. So don't be anxious. So when we come to, we need healing, we are so anxious. Oh Lord, will you heal me? Or whether there will be something will come upon me and I will fall, and they're very anxious. But the Holy Spirit, full of joy, full of love, full of peace, he just wants us to relax, wants us to have peace and joy. Through this harp and bowl worship, and we sing and dance and cry out before the Lord, and he is the source of our joy. And then his words, through the singing, establish in us, renew our thoughts, renew our wrong perceptions, renew our inferiority complex, and that we, God may, through that he may restore to us the glory that God created us to be, and the joy and peace and true peace. So do your best to come, but don't feel pressure. Us Chinese, it's like through all these years and wars, and then that causes us to be spiritually poor inside of us. And then our savings are much more than the Americans. We're not poor. We are rich, but inside of us we are poor. Through our poverty, we are afraid that others will receive more, because our poverty causes comparison, jealousy, comparison, competitiveness. And so these people, we don't have security. We are afraid that others would have received more, and they receive more and they are very joyful, and then I cannot accept that. And then it's different than when I was in Taiwan. I cannot catch up. That's different. When I return back, can I be a pastor? I cannot lead others. I cannot catch up. And it's not a jealousy. I feel like I need to be more diligent to catch up. I do not want to miss out on the flow of the Holy Spirit. And then the spirit is competitor is like, can we have less of this, because I cannot participate so many times. I don't want to see so many people so happy there. So less of that, and then I will have peace. That speaks of our poverty within us. So if you want to be poor, then let everybody be poor. Don't let some will be rich and others poor. So let everybody be poor, so everybody will have security. This is a wrong perception, a wrong attitude. So every activity in the church is for our benefit. And then it's not to cost you more business. I like to rest. And it's not that I ask myself to give myself rest and then you to be more busy. It must be that it is for our benefit. It's always benefit. The less meetings we have, the better off we are. If 10 minutes we can fix it, the meeting, that's very good. Don't keep it long for an hour. But the worship is truly an enjoyment. When Martina was leading the worship, and she is very joyful, I am that way also. These days, I'm joyful. And some people are saying, amen. Yes, we are joyful. Because of the joy of the love of God, we are joyful. And then we are at home, we smile and laugh. We are very joyful. Because we are free, more free, and free in His love. And then more and more we know that His love is so deep and so great for me. And then in His love, I can be so free. And I'm so rich in His love. So, if you can, do your best to come to the Harp and Bowl worship. Don't feel pressured. However many times you can come, come. According to what you can do, you can come. The Lord knows that you're doing your best. And then come and enjoy His love in this temple. How many people are here? God is establishing His glory, glorious presence here. And this pastor came from the East Coast. After the meeting, he said, the love of, the power of God's love is so strong here. I was deeply touched. And then he had a few days here and he came every meeting. We are truly blessed that we can have this freedom to worship. It's free, brothers and sisters. Come as best you can. In the 19th century, there is a Marietta in the 19th century. God used her in the latter part of 19th century. And then the church at that time, we hold back the emotional emotions during the worship. And so they control their emotions. And the churches are like that. But God chose this sister, Marietta. God used her. To use her to do what? And then cause her to be a leader, to be a spiritual revival in her time. And this Etta sister, she believed that God is pleased as we sing and dance and worship Him. And she believed that it's very important that we worship the Lord in our emotional, and that we do not that let the emotions be free in the worship service. And this sister also emphasized that in the worship, if you lack the bodily participation in it, then you are reactive. So he said, in the worship, you need to involve your whole body. Use your whole body, your all emotions to worship the Lord. Here, this way, you will enter into the abundance of God. Let us sing this hymn. This new heaven and new earth. God wants us to come before His throne to enjoy His grace, His abundant blessings. To enjoy what He has created for us, this new heaven and earth. Let us rise and sing.